And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm gonna see if I can talk Randy and John Paul into moving this whole control booth right out on the street. That way I can see the orange glow of the sunrise, which is probably more important than keeping all the controls safe from the weather, right? I'm just joking. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. Thank you for taking time to tune in. I talked to a guy on the phone this week, and he was asking me a question about CBD oil, and this is what he said. He's a individual that's had just a very horrible ankle injury that's required the placement of probably plates and screws. And I think one of the screws, they do that, by the way, when the fracture or the break is pretty bad and they're trying to draw it back together. So, but his issue is one of the screws is starting to work its way out. It's almost as if the body's trying to push the screw out. You ever think about that? I do. Well, he has a lot of pain because of that screw. And he was telling me, a woman said, here, try this CBD oil that I'm selling. And she gave him a bottle of it, and he tried it, and instantly his pain went away for 1 hour. And I said, well, what? And he said, I want you to research it. And I said, well, what do you want me to research? And he said, well, why did it work for 1 hour, but it hasn't worked since? I said, so you're telling me that the remedy worked for 1 hour? I mean, upon taking the CBD oil, it worked for 1 hour. But then after that, it stopped working, and it hadn't worked since. And he thought there was something wrong with the CBD oil, and I thought to myself, probably what the deal is, it was probably a placebo effect. Have you ever heard of that before? You have this positive expectation there's going to be a good response. Well, what are you supposed to do? If a person's taking every drug that a doctor's given them to try to relieve pain and it doesn't relieve the pain, and you're tired of the pain and you're suffering from the pain, the pain's keeping you from living your life the way that you want, why can't you hear a person talk about a natural substance and all of a sudden you decide, oh my goodness, maybe this could work for me. Maybe this is the answer. Well, that's probably where the placebo comes in. Let me see right here. What was I reading? This is called The Science of Healing Thoughts by Gareth Cook. This is a brief article by Gareth Cook. The idea of healing thoughts has been both supported by the faithful and also derided by some scientists as total nonsense. Now, a growing body of scientific research substantiates the evidence that mind, meaning your mind, can play an important role in healing the body. Placebo effects happen because of a psychological response to a treatment. Are you with me so far? And researchers are discovering that taking a placebo can have specific, measurable effects on the brain and the person's body. One example is placebo painkillers, which the word placebo, there's nothing in there that's active. It's just a placebo painkiller. You think there's something that's going to relieve your pain. Okay. They go on to write that taking a placebo painkiller, which prompts the release of endorphins. Guess where they come from? They come from your brain. So, if you take a placebo, but you think in your mind it's going to help you, your brain's doing you a favor. It starts releasing these natural pain-relieving chemicals. Patients are also affected by conditioning in which they learn to associate a specific outcome with a particular treatment, such as pain relief from taking a pill. Because they do feel better, because they expect to feel better, they often do feel better. That's what I meant to say. Another example of the mind-body connection is being studied by researchers in a burn unit in Seattle. Burn patients play a virtual reality game as a method of distracting them from their excruciating pain. Trials show that patients who play the game while having wound treatment and physiotherapy experience a reduction in pain of 15% to 40%. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's the idea of being distracted. And of course, quite often I have people tell me all the time, if I can just get busy doing something else, then the pain goes away. Well, what is wrong with that? That's not toxic. I found this article right here. It's adapted from, I think it's a book. It's called Why Endorphins Make You Happy by Kristen Dominell back in 2016. Since their discovery in the 1970s, endorphins have been credited with that post-exercise buzz experienced by people who exercise regularly, meaning they just feel a whole lot better after the exercise than before the exercise. Now researchers are finding that there's much more going on behind the scenes. Endorphins, which are very similar in structure to a compound called morphine, are considered natural painkillers because they activate opioid receptors in the brain that help minimize some of the pain and the discomfort that you're experiencing. They can also help bring about feelings of euphoria and general well-being. Endorphins are also involved in natural reward circuits related to activities such as feeding and drinking, being intimate, maternal behavior, explains sports and exercise psychologist Kip Matthews, PhD. And here's the punchline right here. When you exercise, your brain increases production of the neurotransmitters serotonin and norepinephrine, which send messages throughout your nervous system. These messages might be the chemical equivalent of something like, hey, you're running. This is good. Keep it up. You're awesome. Exercise not only leads to an increase in serotonin and norepinephrine, which may in turn reduce depression and stress, it also may help ward off depression and anxiety by enhancing the body's ability to respond to stressors. So, go for a long walk and start generating some serotonin and norepinephrine and endorphins. I was thinking to myself, you know, a person's always got options and choices. They may not know what those are, but they've got options. And so you're trying to think to yourself, okay, do I want to do something that could potentially be toxic or hurt my body, like a drug, for example? Or do I want to, you know, do something that would actually help move the needle toward healing and repair? As long as you're living and breathing, you've got choices. And you're in the driver's seat. Yes, there are people that become hooked to opioids and they overdose and they die. That's just absolutely horrible. Would you believe me if I told you that in the Bible it has a passage that says, laughter worketh good like a medicine? Maybe the question is, do you believe that? What's wrong with putting yourself in a situation to laugh more? Who knows, it might actually improve your health today. Now here's a quite the negative article, but I feel like it's my duty to at least share this with you. I had tremendous criticism from a physician over a comment I made to a patient about a statin drug. Well, let me read this to you right here. Currently, they're saying that heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. And so, in order to reduce the danger of strokes and heart attacks, we enter the pharmaceutical answer to everything. It's called the statin drug. And one of those drugs is called Lipitor. And they have come to the rescue, something to lower high levels of LDL lipoprotein or cholesterol. And they also tout through commercials on television and radio and advertisements in magazines and books that this reduces cholesterol and plaque buildup and calcification in your coronary arteries. And those would just be a few of the reasons to take cholesterol. Well, there's a new study that examines some of the mechanisms by which these statin drugs and statins are drugs to lower one's cholesterol levels. Okay? So this new study examines some of the mechanisms by which statin drugs may actually promote calcification of the arteries. I don't know if you heard that. They're saying they reduce plaque and calcification of the arteries, but this study is saying, hold on just a second here. Maybe taking these drugs promotes your arteries to become hardened and calcified. So just keep an open mind. They say one of the main mechanisms is that statins can be toxic to the mitochondria. I don't know if you've ever heard the term mitochondria before, but this is that small organelle in every cell that you have, whether it's a brain cell or a heart muscle cell or your biceps muscle cell or a skin cell or a liver or a kidney. I could keep going. I should stop now. But mitochondria, that's where all energy production takes place. Your fortunes are going to rise and fall based on mitochondria and how healthy they are. But they're saying now that these statin drugs to reduce calcification and plaque in your arteries, they might actually kill the mitochondria. And when you kill the mitochondria, guess what happens? You can't synthesize important nutrients that you need for heart health. Have you ever heard of a substance called coenzyme Q10? Well, maybe you haven't, but your mitochondria make it for you. Well, what if you kill those mitochondria? Well, guess what? They're going to make a whole lot less coenzyme Q10. Well, isn't it good to lower cholesterol? Well, not at the expense of killing the very thing that keeps your heart muscle and your brain in good working order. So basically, statin drugs can destroy the mitochondria, which inhibits the synthesis of important nutrients such as coenzyme Q10. And there's another fat-soluble vitamin called minoquinone. Sometimes it's called vitamin K2. This is the one when you get plenty of it from your diet, your arteries of your heart and your coronary vessels, or the coronary vessels and your aorta, they seem to stay quite supple and pliable and flexible. You tell me, do you want to become so stiff and rigid that you can't bend and move and tie your shoes? No. You need to maintain your flexibility. Well, you need K2 to do that. And so this results in impairment of the heart and blood vessel muscle function, and that leads directly to calcification. I need you to remember that one of the roles of vitamin K2 is to make sure calcium goes exactly to where your body really needs it the most. And so 99% of the time, that's going to be the bones and the teeth, okay? Well, if you take a statin or a cholesterol-lowering drug that destroys your body's production of vitamin K2, guess what happens? Calcium is going to go to places you don't want it to go. I think everyone would agree, you do not want to have the joints in your fingers becoming calcified. No, that would be painful arthritis. Or what if you had calcium build up inside of your kidneys? Well, that's another extremely painful proposition. It's called a kidney stone. So isn't it interesting that the very drug they say promotes great health actually causes your arteries to calcify? Anyway, statins also, and this is the same study, the researchers came up with this, they said that statins also have other negative side effects, such as brain fog and muscle pain. But the biggest concern by far is the possibility that they may actually promote heart attacks and other coronary events. I think they're just choosing to say it that way, but let's go backwards just for a second. Let's just say an individual gets a prescription from their doctor to take Lipitor, Zocor, Vytorin, any statin drug. What would you think if all of a sudden you said, you know what, my mind is not as sharp as it used to be? Well, guess what? You have to have cholesterol to form memory, to think. Half of the dry weight of your brain is pure cholesterol. I know that may be a shock to you, but you've got to have cholesterol in order for your mind to function properly. Well, what if you say that the moment you start taking a cholesterol-lowering drug, that your feet begin to hurt, and they begin to ache, and your legs feel sore, or they feel heavy, or you've lost a spring in your step, and you feel like your energy levels are low. Well, if you take a cholesterol-lowering drug and it destroys the ability of the cholesterol to form that myelin sheath or that wrapper around your nerves, well, don't be surprised if you start to have burning or tingling in your legs. That's an indication that you're killing the nerve fibers. So, just food for thought. So, it's not everything is not always exactly the way they make it out to be. Now, is it so hard sorting through this stuff? If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. I think I've officially missed my window for the last caller, so if you'll try to call back, I'll get you right in. 903-586-5257. And if you call, I'll push the button to get you right in. In the meantime, you know, I always find it interesting that if you go out into the forest, what does a coyote eat? He eats other animals that are high in cholesterol. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I had talked to my husband about you, and he wanted to ask you a couple of questions. We had called earlier, but we thought I had the wrong number, but I just heard you give the number.
You had the right number. Good job.
Okay. You want to talk on my phone? Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay. I have, in May, I was diagnosed with diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And I've been trying to get my hands on and read everything I can about it. And I've made some good progress. But I came, my sister sent me a book titled The End of Diabetes by Joel Fuhrman, MD.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you have read this and if you have an opinion about it.
No, I have not read that book, but Joel Fuhrman is one smart cookie. I've read some of his other books.
Oh, okay.
What would you say is his basic recommendation when you read the book?
I am only about two-thirds of the way through his book, but he is claiming that his plant-based diet, very little meat, not only helping people lose weight, but also to end diabetes.
Well, if somebody cuts out eating all that grain and sugar, it's going to help, isn't it?
Well,